Well, it's time now to speak to Deeptika Laurent, who's here for a look through what's making headlines in today's papers. Deepti, you're starting with reactions after what Donald Trump is calling a victory at the NATO summit.
Yeah, that's right, Allison. The victory he's referring to is getting NATO members to agree to spending 5% of their national GDPs on defense, all but Spain, of course, which had already prior said it would not be meeting those requirements. But in any case, for this Dutch paper here, NRC Operation Trump was a success, the paper says on its front page. And really, the reactions today are very scathing, but scathing towards Europe. This is what Le Figaro says in this article here. At the NATO summit, Donald Trump was imperial, and the allies were docile, or Europeans docile. And you have Le Soir, the Belgian paper here, also very scathing in its coverage today. Here it says that Donald Trump savors his triumph while Europe strengthens its defense. But it's here in this editorial that the paper is particularly scathing. Donald Trump whistles and NATO members dance, the editor says, adding that between the Dutch rolling out the red carpet for Donald Trump, the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, who jokingly referred to Donald Trump as Daddy Trump, Europe bowed down to a U.S. president who humiliated them, insulted them, and even backed the far-right parties against them. And when he didn't get what he wanted, in this case from Spain, well, he used threats instead.
Yeah, Spain sort of standing up to Donald Trump, I guess you could say. Take us through, Deepti, the Spanish papers and how they're reacting to that.
Well, this is the front page from El País, because indeed when Spain said they would not be committing 5% of their GDP to defense, while Donald Trump threatened to double tariffs against Spain, as that is his go-to measure. El País here says, actually quoting Donald Trump, saying you pay double, or threatening Spain that Spain will pay double because of Madrid's refusal to dedicate that 5% of budget to defense. And in its editorial today, El País here wonders, is it diplomatic bullying or is it survival of the fittest? That's a question. It adds that Europe must resist Donald Trump and band together in the face of his policies. The paper also urging Europe to focus on building its industrial independence to confront the American arms industry, which a majority of European countries rely on. So El País really making the case for European industrial independence today. On the other side, so El País, a left-wing paper. On the other side, you have ABC, which is a conservative Spanish daily. On their front page, it's clear who is responsible for this. The paper saying that Pedro Sanchez, the prime minister, is, quote, plunging Spain into a trade war by trying to defy NATO.
All right, turning to the U.S. next, a 33-year-old New York upstart has won the Democratic primaries for the New York mayoral election, something a lot of the press is focusing on today.
Yeah, his name is Zoran Mamdani. He's 33 years old, and he's the focus of this article here from the Hindustan Times, which I'll just pull up for you. He was born to Indian parents. He's was relatively unknown as well, at least in October when he announced his bid. He was quite politically unknown. He's a self-described, quote, B-list rapper who once rapped under the name Young Cardamom. His mother is notably Meera Nair, an award-winning filmmaker, and Mamdani's shock win in the Democratic primaries for the New York mayoral election is even more impressive, as I said, because he was relatively unknown when he started running. But thanks to a campaign that really focused on Gen Z tactics and general voter revulsion for his rival Andrew Cuomo, Mamdani has won the primaries and he could be New York's next mayor. If he wins, the Hindustan Times says he would be the first Indian American, the first Muslim, and the youngest in generations to become New York mayor.
Seems like he's generating some pride there in India from the Hindustan Times. Meanwhile, Deepti, his victory also has wider repercussions for the Democratic Party.
And this is something that the New York Times is looking at, for instance, Allison. This is how that success reverberates beyond New York City, particularly as the Democrats now sort of try and plan ahead for next year's midterm elections. They're searching for lessons that they could draw from this victory and how to sort of emulate it in other ways. Meanwhile, the Republicans are clamoring to discredit him, most notably through criticism that Mamdani has faced during his campaign, that he's anti-Israel. This over accusations that he refused to condemn the globalize the Intifada movement, which some see as a call to fight against Jewish people. Now, the Washington Post in its article says Mamdani's stunning rise, that's how they describe it, gives the Democrats a playbook, but also creates some perils. In summary, the Washington Post explains that his victory is seen as a positive by some, but also a negative by others within the Democratic Party, because Mamdani is from the far left faction. In any case, for him and for liberals activists within the Democratic Party, it's proof that the party's establishment old guard is weak and on the way out. Moderates, though, say that adopting these sort of radical policies to big cities might be okay, but when you look at it in the big picture, applying these kind of politics elsewhere in the United States may be perceived as extreme. In any case, Mamdani says his victory is a blueprint for the party going forward.
It'll be interesting to see how he does in the election as well. Finally, from you, Deepti, there could be a new love game in tennis.
Well, it's all speculative, Allison, but rumors are abound that Emma Raducanu and Carlos Alcaraz could be the next hottest thing. It comes ever since Raducanu, who is the British number one tennis player, was seen watching an Alcaraz game at Queen's Club last week, all a smiles. The pair has also spoken fondly of each other in press conferences. They've known each other a long time. And Alcaraz even asked Raducanu to play mixed doubles with him at this year's US Open. He was apparently seen at her hotel. The pair were apparently seen arriving at Queens within minutes of each other, which is a short-tail sign that you're trying to make sure no one knows you're dating. Anyway, it seems like the tennis world is more widely just starved for a good, juicy love story, because it has been a very long time, probably dating back to Steffi Graf and Andre Agassin. That was, you know, late 90s.
So. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. We love a juicy love story here on France 24. Deepti, thank you so much, as always, for that look through the papers. That's France 24's Deepti Laurent.